Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back to the Sleepers Podcast. It's Tuesday, May 7th, and what a pleasure it is to be joined by Carter Elliott. I don't have a creative name for you today. Carter, how you doing?
What do you mean you don't have a creative name for me?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I was trying to think of more like, more Kendrick-related drama names for you, but I just feel so depleted.
What about Carter Slav?
Yeah, it could work.
Carter Slavovicic?
Honestly, no, it doesn't roll off the tongue the way you think it does.
Damn it.
Tomacart?
That's too much Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, you're right. That's not great. Did you ever watch Tom and Jerry?
No. I mean, I did, but after a certain time, it's like, damn, just catch him. Like, you're a cat. Like, just catch him eventually.
Cat unhappy that a cat can't catch?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, well... any additional commentary? You've had a night to sleep on it now. You are the biggest OVO member that I know, OVO cart, some say. Any commentary on where things are at for you and Team Drake in the Kendrick Drake battle?
Absolutely no comment at this time.
That speaks volumes.
It might, but I just have no comment at this time.
I've never seen you so quiet when it comes to Drake.
The real no.
Wow. All right. Okay. You want to start us off with your YouTube comment of the day?
Of course I do. This one is kind of a conjunction, a conglomerate, one might say, of comments. A lot of Illinois fans are at our necks currently, saying that we should have sat back and let Brad cook with the addition of Tomislav and everyone else that got in the portal. Did we jump the gun on saying that Illinois was a quote-unquote loser of the offseason? Does this Tomislav one change that for you? Where are you and we at currently on Illinois' offseason, I guess, is the conglomerate of comments.
I love Tomislav. Like, I love him. I love all Slavs. But unless Tomislav is going to start at the three and score 15 a game and be your leading shot taker, then no, this doesn't solve your offseason, right? Like, they needed a big, and he's a good big. I'm really excited about it. I like the front court now of Tomislav and Merez, Rickhaus down there. Great. But, like, they need an alpha wing. This doesn't solve that, and there still aren't a lot of alpha wings in the portal, right?
Yeah, and there's holes in the boat, and they covered up one hole, but that still doesn't stop the fact that there's water leaking in at the other spot.
Yeah, but now it does. I mean, it's a lesson in patience with Brad. Like, but I don't think once this offseason we've written him off and said he failed yet. We've just said, like, he has work to do the entire time.
We're just implementing a new rule. We don't do any Illinois offseason grades until Brad Underwood gets his passport stamped.
That's a smart
then move. We cook.
I do love Brad going international. I'm a huge fan of that.
I do. What do you think Brad's go-to plane snacks are?
Probably those Biscoffs.
You think? I was thinking Gardetto's.
That's a plane snack?
Well, I'm saying, like, he goes to the overpriced convenience store and, you know, buys the same. If it's just a plane snack, he for sure just gets double almonds and coffee.
I bet every now and then Brad likes to splurge on a Tootsie Roll.
You think? I could see that.
Yeah, me too.
That's the most expensive snacks out.
This makes me miss flying with you. Like, we should be at the airport bar with triple Jack and diets, like, 10 minutes before I have to get on a flight right now.
Yeah, true. One of the greater experiences of my life is seeing the bartender's face when we pulled up and placed our order. She's like, "I'm not, what did you say?" Yeah, each. Yeah. The whole bottle, Denise.
It's nice. It's nice. Okay, to the comments today, back in the Discord. Join the Discord, link in the description. Every single day we read every comment that the Discord sends us for the show. It's the number one way to support us. People do ask in the off season, like, is this going to continue? Yeah, it's continuing every single day that we are alive until we decide to no longer do this. And the more people that join the Discord, the less likely it is that we will decide to stop doing this. So right now, there's a number at the top of the Discord that says there's 830 people in the Discord. I think the total number of paid is just under 300 still. So would love to see a few more of those 800 come over. But great little community we got going right now, talking all things, even non-sports related things. Let's get to the comments. We start today with Dreadhead Dev Royal the King, who says, who are some players who declared early and phased out that you wished were in today's NIL era that would have maybe kept them from going professional? My pick is Kennedy Chandler for the Vols. He would be a better version of Ziegler right now, and instead he went one and done.
Ooh, I really like that Kennedy Chandler shout. That was a good one. What's one that comes to mind automatically? Do you have one that comes to your mind quickly?
Yeah, I have one from my program. Mitch McGarry never wanted to be a professional basketball player. He wanted to, like, smoke weed and be good at basketball. And if NIL was around and Michigan was capable of just like, here's $600,000 to stay in Ann Arbor and be high and play basketball, he would have stayed two more years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're doing that. Then I wish Deontay Davis would have stayed.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Just stay at Michigan State for 4 years. There's no need to go be a second round pick for the Hawks.
Yep, for sure. Jake Bridges says, where would next year's best Big Ten team finish in next year's Big 12? Love this question. I think you and I are going to say consensus best Big Ten team is still Purdue. Do we agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so next year's Big 12 right now, Kansas looks loaded. You love Iowa State. Baylor looks loaded. Houston looks loaded. Arizona might be really good. There's others too. Where do you have Purdue in that mix?
I think I would have them fifth. I go back and forth that they're going to be better than Arizona. I do like Arizona. I think they'd be fifth, sixth at worst, maybe. That league is tough.
If they're six, who's fifth? Arizona over them?
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance Arizona could be. I'm gonna put them fourth right now. Put them fourth.
Yeah. So which one of those teams that are at the top? Like, are you putting them ahead of Houston?
I'm putting them ahead of Houston right now. Yeah.
Ugh, I hate that.
I really believe in Purdue. I think I don't know, man. I think Purdue's gonna be like seventh or eighth best team in the country, and Houston will be right around there, eighth or ninth.
Yeah. Big 12 is tough as shit.
Yeah. Great conference, loaded. Fam says, let's talk walking etiquette. I was going to save this hot topic for Bluffs Friday, but I can't take the madness anymore. I crush a 3 mile walk daily on the same route. I see the same 55-year-old guy at least 5 times a week. I don't say hi or wave, but I feel incredibly awkward every time we cross paths. Sometimes he looks in my direction, others he doesn't. What's the protocol here? The inconsistency is eating me alive.
I mean, I feel like you got to read the walk, read the room in a case. Like, there's some people along my walk path in my neighborhood that are always on their porch or something like that I see that I always hit with the, hey, how's it going? And they're like, good. And I'm like, all right, that's basically it. Or like a simple head nod, something. But I feel like there needs to be some type of communication. I would go with the, how's it going? I usually just hit you with the good and you just keep it pushing, keep it walking.
Yeah.
I feel like you might be the person to ask for this, essentially, given your walk encounters that you have.
Yes, my belief, my strong belief is that you should always pull the friendly head nod acknowledgement card. You shouldn't cross paths with someone on a consistent basis, especially if you know, like, I'm a walker and he's a walker and we're going to see each other. It doesn't have to be like a stop and talk, but it has to be, or it should be, an acknowledgement of some sort. Just a head nod, just a sup, just a hey, just a wave, whatever you want it to be. Read the room. But yeah, don't go like head down, oh, this is awkward, because then you just dread that interaction. And that's exactly what Gertrude and Eleanor have done to me for the better part of 5 years. It's disgusting behavior. It's really upsetting to me. They've become my enemies. For all you know, fam, maybe the walker that you cross paths with views you as an enemy because you never say hello.
Very true. Also, fam, if you don't want to speak, I would suggest putting headphones in. Those are always a go-to. Like, I do that sometimes when I don't want to talk to people. Like, I should have did it in Arizona, but like, if I'm in an Uber, sometimes I don't listen to music, but I put my AirPods in so they know I don't feel like talking.
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't know. Just, I feel like that's more of just like a friendliness thing. Like, just be friendly, you know? It never hurts to be friendly. Is there a spot in the world where being friendly hurts you?
Hell yeah. Sometimes being friendly gets you put in the plans that you don't want to be a part of.
I guess that's a good point.
Like, friendliness leads to, like, communication and being a part of things and having to do things. And sometimes you don't want to do things.
That's a very good point.
Like, my friendliness right now has me overloaded in leagues. I'm in a basketball league. I'm in a golf league. I'm in a Saturday morning runs league. And granted, I love them all.
Yeah, wait, those are all good things for you. These are horrible examples.
But I got to cut back on one or two. It's eating my life alive.
You love doing that, and you and your wife are the two busiest people I've ever met. Like, you guys, you act like you don't love it. You love it.
Gregory, you say that. That's if I wasn't as friendly as I was, then I would not be a part of all these things. I wouldn't be as busy.
But you love it. What are we doing?
Do I?
Yes. Coop says, what are your thoughts on John Dorsey's tradition of prank calling other NFL teams on draft day?
I think it's stupid.
That's our guy, though. You don't like it?
Why is John Dorsey our guy?
He's Lions front office guy.
No, he isn't.
Oh, I thought he was in our front office. I'm pretty sure it is.
No, he's not.
I swear to God he is.
If you're right on this and I'm wrong, then the Lions season might be cooked.
Hold on.
We're looking. I thought John Dorsey was with like the Panthers. He's with the Lions?
I swear to God he is. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's the senior personnel executive for the Detroit Lions. That's not good. I don't like that then.
You don't like that?
No.
I kind of love it.
Why?
Because it's manipulation, and I love all things manipulation.
Okay, maybe we do because this guy came in 2021, and then our fortune switched around.
He's throwing every other team off their pivot, right? Like, he's sabotaging every other team's draft, just trying to waste people's time.
You got some Dorsey in your game.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Young Tunafish Jr. says, new here. Can I get a 30-second recap on the Cart Greg friendship origin story? Also, can I get a scouting report on Greg's hoop game? You want to take the friendship origin story, or do you want to take the scouting report on my hoop game?
Hoop. I cannot do friendship origin anymore.
Friendship origin is this. My boy from high school, Zach Hirth, was Carter's point guard at Albion. Just typical, like, you go to separate colleges. I was at Michigan State. Z and Cart were at Albion. We would visit each other. Cart made his way to East Lansing plenty of times. I made my way to Albion a few times. Anytime we were together, we would find ourselves like in the corner playing stupid college basketball games. Like, what school did this player go to? And drinking. One of the first nights I ever hung out with Carter, I did leave the function telling my wife that Carter would be in my wedding party by the end of our lives. And I manifested that shit. So really nothing crazy story, just boys.
That's a pretty good, that the last part of that story is pretty fire, as you were in mine. That's pretty elite story.
It is true. If I was cooler, I would have said I'll be in his wedding party instead of you'll be in mine. But yeah, it worked out both ways. Yeah, let's get the scout on my hoop game.
Yeah, so Gregory is a very heady player. You know, gritty, coaching extensive. No, I'm kidding. I'm not gonna do the whole white player thing. Greg is a player I think works best off ball. I think he does a good job of getting himself open. He's a knockdown shooter. I also think part of what aids to his hoop game is that people underestimate him and he finds a way to get himself open and knock down a shot. And then once he knocks one down, he also kind of lets you know that he knocked it down. He's like, you shouldn't underestimate me. I'm going to find a way. Now, if you run him off the line, I'm not really sure what he's going to do after that. He can make a pass. He's a guy who knows what, you know, knows what pass to make. But you definitely want him. He's the type of player I think you want to force to put the ball on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd like there are absolutely times I can just be taken away. But if the thing is, if you're taking me away, like if I'm just playing runs and the opposing team puts like their best defender on me to take me away, that's a win for my team because the best defender shouldn't be guarding me in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you out on that. What would you say your defensive scout is? Like, are you a good defender?
I'm a talker. I'm a communicator for sure.
Okay.
I impact things positively in pickup runs by actually like talking on switches. But
yeah, you're calling screens. You're calling all that out.
But I am incredibly lazy and a non-defender in general. I can use – I think I have a plus wingspan, though, and I can use my length to make up for my lack of athleticism and effort.
I think we need to get a confirmation of this plus wingspan talk.
You don't think I have a plus wingspan?
I think it's probably even. I think, like, if you're 6'3", your wingspan's 6'3".
I'm not 6'3".
Are you 6'2"?
Yeah.
Then your wingspan's 6'2".
I think I got a 6'4" wingspan.
We might have to have a sleepers combine.
We can do that. We can definitely do that. Toon says the Beatles were the original boy band. That's not a thing you want to hear on this program. You're not a Beatles fan.
Yeah, they're not. Sorry, Dave.
Are they even a band?
I think they're a group of guys who found some instruments and had pretty cool names and accents.
So they're a band.
I could find a Beatles friendship group origin story probably every 10 miles I travel.
Coop says, has Zion been a bust in the NBA, or is it too early to say that? The hype surrounding him was unreal. 4 years in the league, hurt every year, hasn't played in a playoff game yet. When he plays, he's awesome, but availability is one of the most important things.
The only thing I'll say is I have a hard time calling a player a bust when it's kind of just injuries. It's not really his fault. Like, when he's on the floor, I think he's been incredible. But whether it's injuries or being diabolically horny, he has deterred his career a little bit.
Yeah, I don't have any issue calling him a bust when you just aren't available. Like, you have to be available to be a good NBA player, and he's never available. So, to me, yeah, set aside the hype. Like, the hype is one thing. He was supposed to be super, super special just for, like, being the first overall pick in any draft. If you're never available in the biggest moments of your season, that's a huge miss. And, yeah, I do question, like, how much – you know how people tried to make it out that Anthony Edwards doesn't care about basketball?
Yeah.
Seems like maybe that should have been thrown on Zion instead.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. Guy says, daily high major comment to prove my sanity, day 12. Are we sure about this Cooper Flagg kid?
This bit is terrible.
Everyone is lauding him for being so bouncy, but I haven't seen him do one thing that Jacoby Walter couldn't. If this guy is supposed to be Duke star, I'm out on the Devils.
I can't take guys sometimes, man. This bit, it's taking its toll on me. This bit is taking its toll on me. This exercise shouldn't happen anymore.
That exercise line was nice. I didn't think that rhythm was going to work. That worked out nice.
I found a way.
Spartan Dog 101 has a comment that just says Kohler and Cooper. That's all it says.
All right.
Frag McNasty didn't tag us in this, but he says, can someone wake me up when the guys are finished talking about Drake and Kendrick Lamar? As one of the older members of the Discord, that entire conversation was akin to listening to commentary on a match between the two best Pakistani cricket teams. Just like cricket, I don't get the whole rap thing. I don't care if Drake smashed Lamar's head with a cricket wicket or if Lamar threw a beamer above Drake's waist.
Well, we care. I'm sorry, you don't. I care.
Yeah. You're down bad right now, some would say.
Also, cricket's a kind of a fun sport.
We're going to move on. Spartan Dog 101 is back. Says, what in the Dwayne Stevens has happened to my program's big man rotation?
What rotation?
Oh, they rotate. That's for sure.
Oh, they rotate. Let me tell you. There's going to be some rotation.
They always do. Final comment today from Young Tuna Fish Jr. I was at an event last night where Tim Anderson spoke briefly. He said this coming year's Illinois team was better on paper than last year's team. Not sure what kind of paper the Illini staff is looking at. You could convince me that all the role pieces are better, but no TSJ or DeMass. Come on, coach. Don't lie to me. TA did refer to Underwood as Darth Vader. Not sure what that means, but I liked it.
That boy's a liar. That boy's a liar. Come on now, Timmy. Timbo. Big Ando. Big son. Come on. No, let's not lie. It's just not true. It's not true. We can be in on this year's team without lying and saying that, especially on paper, that this year's team is better than last year's team.
Yeah, more like Big Durr, if that's what we're going to go with. That was a Big Durr there. I don't see how there's any way this is possible unless the next three additions are all like really, really good high-level starter caliber players, which could happen. I'm not putting that past Brad. I do love that TA referred to Underwood as Darth Vader. You don't need to know what that means. Just love that. Just embrace that. That's great. Also, most importantly, Cart, this is the moment that tells me Illinois is going to be fine next season. Because their coaches are lying. And that's, we beg for coaches to lie all the time. Yes. A lot of coaching staffs don't lie. If Illinois is lying right now, they're going to be fine.
You know what? I just completely flipped on this. Who cares? Oh, I don't care if you have last year's Western Conference All-Star starters as your roster. You lie and you say that this year's team is better. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in too. Okay, that's the comments. Great job, comments section. Way to start us off today. Hey, Cart. Have you placed a bet today?
I haven't, but when I do, I know exactly where I'm going to do so.
Where would that be?
That'd be my bookie, the official sports book of Sleepers Media. They have everything you need from players, props, parlays, and even extra predictions if you need a little bit of a little push, a little assistance on where to place your money. And right now, over at my bookie, you can get an instant deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000. So put this in simple math. If you deposit $1,000, you get a free $1,000 to go with it. Go make it happen. All you have to do is use promo code Sleepers. That's promo code Sleepers to take advantage of this instant deposit bonus match. Head over to my bookie. Bet the way the Sleepers bet over at my bookie.
We're going to start today's topics with a look at the NBA Combine participants list. This came out at the end of last week. We had a little bit of surprise, I think, when we saw the names on this, or maybe some of the names that were left off of this. The biggest things that stood out to me at the top here, Bronny James is on it. I mean, that's not a surprise, but when you consider who's left off it, just interesting that Bronny James is on it. No Jonell Davis on this list. No Caleb Love on this list. From what we have been told, Jonell has declined invites. It's not that he didn't get invited. It's that he declined them. I have not heard what the speculation is on Caleb, if he declined it or did not get invited. I would assume they both declined it and intend to just play in college basketball. Jonell recently committed to Arkansas, and Caleb Love's status seems mysterious still at Arizona. Once again, Caleb Love being intriguing in a variety of ways. Do you have any takeaways? What's interesting to you about the NBA Combine participants list?
Well, can I say first off that the most interesting part is that everyone's in a tizzy about Bronny being invited? Like, his father is in LeBron James. Like, what are we doing here? Like, he was gonna get one. And I actually saw a pretty good tweet from I want to make sure I give him his credit. It was LaTulip, actually. Michael Tulip, who does some really good stuff for Illinois basketball. Go check him out if you want to. But he brought up the situation, and obviously it's a little bit different, but like, when Peyton Watson averaged 2-2 for UCLA, no one was up in arms when he got an invite to the combine. Now, obviously, it's a little bit different in this situation. Peyton Watson was, you know, extremely highly touted recruit, and obviously measurables and things like that were something you could see him kind of thriving at a combine setting. But like, all this uproar about Bronny and how you feel about him as a prospect or whatever getting invitation just like is getting overplayed. Like, he didn't take away spots from everybody. There were 76 invites the last 2 years and 68 the year before that. Now there's 78 that are invited, right? So like, he's not stealing anyone's spot. And that's what just kind of like annoys me, because all I see is that, oh, Bronny got an invite and Jonell Davis didn't. Well, like, that's not Bronny's fault. And Jonell Davis's dad's not LeBron James. Like, we need to stop ignoring the fact that Bronny's father is who he is. Like, on whether you want to, whether you hate it or not, like, it is what it is.
Is this you saying for the first time in your life you're pro nepotism?
Yeah, I think it is.
So you, when it comes down to it, you really set your values and your morals aside for people you like, because you're pro nepotism with like LeBron, who you worship, and you're pro nepotism with like Drake, who you worship.
But I'm not pro nepotism with Drake.
I just am assuming in the future when a nepotism moment comes around, you're going to love it when it's Drake. But you're anti it with everybody else, it seems.
Maybe not, because I don't know if I'm even pro nepotism. I'm just like pro who gives a flying you know what that Bronny got invited to the NBA Combine.
Okay, that makes sense. I have a Combine take.
Combine sucks?
Everyone should be invited to the Combine. Like, why? Why are we drawing the line anywhere?
It's like, truly, I don't know. Maybe because they want to cut down on time people have to spend at the Combine.
Like, if AJ Hogard wants to go to the Combine and shit his bed, let him? Like,
hey, AJ Hogard might be special at a Combine. You see that CP3 camp footage? Rip DeMar DeRozan up.
Was really good. That was quite a week there. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe,
I guess
maybe that's why we can't invite players, all the players to the Combine, because players can trick people.
Yeah, people would lie.
Yeah.
Is Bronny going to go pro, do you think? Like, is that what you want him to do? Is that what you think he should do?
I think he should play in college, but to be honest with you, this for some reason, this just feels like a point where it's just like, if LeBron can just play 1 year with Bronny, he just wants to have that, and in order to do that, it might have to be like he needs to come to the NBA, you know.
Yeah. It does seem like if Bron is going to play with Bronny, it needs to happen this year. I think, not that Bron couldn't play five more years, but I think Bron is running out of interest in this. Like,
oh, man, it's going to be scenes when Bronny takes Max Christie's limited rotation. And it's a Christie family is going to be up in arms.
Yeah. John L. and Caleb Love not being there, does that matter?
I personally don't think it matters. Because, I mean, maybe it matters to John L. because I think John L. could actually make some pretty good impressions in the five-on-five portion. But, like, if you're John L. Davis, like, there's no way he's going to measure that great or test that great, in my opinion. It was just like, oh, yeah, need John L. So I don't know. Doesn't really seem. It seems more so to me, too, that, like, he committed to Arkansas. He knew what he was doing. He really wasn't actually going to go to the NBA, in my opinion. That was his last option.
If they were the ones that turned it down, I applaud them for doing it, because one of my pet peeves in college basketball is guys who go through the draft process that aren't going to get drafted at all. Like, you know, this in the past when it was like Hogard and Akins are in the elite camp. Like, I even like Terrence Williams and Damari Burnett put their name on shit, and then like 2 hours later they transferred and said they're coming back to college, because obviously they're coming back to college. They can't go to the NBA. You're not good enough. And, like, Caleb Love could certainly work his way onto a two-way. I don't know if John L. can or not, but, like, these guys aren't intent on actually being serious about going to the draft. So stop wasting everybody's time. Just get the bag in college. And it appears that's what's happened here with both Caleb and John L., and I applaud that. I like that.
Are you applauding Caleb Love?
Yeah, well, he hasn't formally said he's coming back. So until that happens, no. But if it comes out that he's not going to the Combine because he just knows he's going to Arizona, then yeah, I'll applaud Caleb Love.
I just want to clip applaud Caleb Love and just put it on loop, please.
Really unlikely for me. We did some transfer superlatives yesterday. We have a couple more topics today that are along those same lines. I want to start with our second topic, which is five transfers that you believe in more than the general consensus on these players. Why are you laughing and smiling?
Because I just realized a little, I think this is going to be, you're going to get a little kick out of this to start this, because I feel like what I said in the last segment ties into a portion of my list.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, yeah, this list is this. Five transfers that you are higher on than most, you think is just going to be either a breakout star or overachieve compared to what people expect. Let's do it like we did yesterday. So we'll just go back and forth. And if we both have the player on our list, then we'll continue. If not, we'll alternate. You want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go first, but can I get a quick pulse check here? How many players do you think will be like, I have them higher and you have them lower?
You'll be lower on a handful of mine for sure.
Okay. All right. I'll start. You want to start with lower or higher?
What do you mean lower or higher?
Like the players that were lower on or players that were higher on?
We're doing players we believe in more. That is the topic right now. Players that we are higher on than the consensus.
Oh, my apologies, Gregory. How dare I? That's just me getting mixed up in the moment here. All right, I'll start this off. I'm going to get my homer pick out of the way here. I'm higher on Frankie Fiddler than others are.
Why?
Because one, I think you're lower on him, which makes me elevate him even more. But I truly think that putting him in a situation where I'm hoping, and this is a little bit of hope here, that Frankie Fiddler doesn't need to be the number one option will help him out a little bit. Now, I think that takes a lot of jumping from other guys. Like, I think that there needs to be a jump from players like Xavier Booker, and there also needs to be a jump from guys like Jay Nakins and being in the two guard spot and being in a higher usage role. Given how the roster is going to be the outlook of the roster looks. So I think that Frankie Fiddler is going to be a guy who Michigan State can depend on to knock down shots and be one of the higher scorers on this basketball team.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to push back super hard. I really don't think I'm like more down on Fiddler than consensus. And I tried to do a good job of like expressing that in his commitment video. Like,
yeah, you did.
I think he's going to start, and I think he's going to be okay, and I think nobody's nationally talking about him because he's Frankie Fiddler. Like, I don't think that's a me problem. I think that's a Frankie Fiddler problem. So I respect being higher on him than that, for sure. And yeah, I think you are higher because you have him scoring, like leading Michigan State in scoring this year, right?
Yeah, like 15 a game, probably.
That'd be a great year. That would definitely be higher than what is expected of him, I think. So yeah, I'm good with that answer. He's not on my list. I guess I'll feed you back one that I know will not be on your list. And this is the best player, I think, on either of our lists. You've heard me say this repeatedly. I'm higher on Aiden Mahaney than the consensus. It's gotten cute. It's gotten niche in college basketball national circles to shit on Aiden Mahaney. The group chats that we're in, everyone's skeptical of this guy. Everybody's like, who do people think Aiden Mahaney actually is? I'll tell you who I think Aiden Mahaney is. I think he's a first-team All-American. I think he's UConn's leading scorer. I think he damn near might be the Big East player of the year next season. I think this kid's going to be an absolute killer, and Danny Hurley is going to make him look like one of the best guards in UConn history.
My word. First team all. Well, if there's one thing I'll give you credit for, Greg, you don't half-ass things, sir.
Nope, I do not.
You do not. Okay. I figured that he was going to be on your list, and unfortunately, I am a part of the camp where I'm like, oh yeah, like it's Aiden Mahaney here we're talking about. Big year upcoming for him. But I will say this to your point, I think that if he is going to reach his ceiling, right, be what you think he is as a first team All American. I will say this, it would happen in the spot he's in right now, like playing in UConn's offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's going to happen somewhere, it would happen there. So I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
What did you
say? I'm with it. That's the whole plan. Hurley's right. A huge part.
All right. I'm going to get, let's see who I want to do here. This one I bordered on just because I think a lot of people are high on him. So it's not like I feel like a lot of people do believe in him, but maybe I believe in him a little bit more, I think. I think Trey Townsend is going to be an All-American. I truly do. I think that he's going to thrive in Tommy Lloyd's system at the four spot. I think that he brings a lot of the things probably that Keshawn Johnson brought, but probably better offensively, in my opinion, maybe not as good defensively. But I think that Trey Townsend is going to be a focal point for Arizona. It does depend on if Caleb Love comes back, which is kind of looking like he is. So who knows what that looks like. But I know a lot of people are high on the Trey Townsend transfer to Arizona, but I guess I would just go in the higher camp because I do think that he's going to be an All-American level player.
Yeah, I think the big thing with that is I don't think you can be an All-American if you're playing second fiddle to Caleb Love. I don't think it's doable.
That's a very good point.
I like his game. I think it's a good fit for him, but yeah, just I don't think you're going to be featured enough to be like that guy. Maybe though. Okay. Not on my list. This might be a flip from yesterday. We had a bunch of each other's on our list collectively. Maybe not today. Here's one I think might be on your list. Shout out to Brad Underwood. Ben Whom Riches. Him Whom Rickhouse. I don't know. I'm in. I'm in on this kid. I do like the film. I see a lot of the Marcus Dumas tendencies where he's like big enough to back you down. His shot is great. He can shoot on the move. He can be a tough bucket getter. If they're going to play the booty ball, this guy's the guy to play the booty ball with next season. Nobody else on the roster. And I think it can work.
I like that pick. I did not have him on my list, but I do like that pick. I really like the film that I've seen from Mr. Rickhouse. I think he's going to be really good for Illinois in that Brad Underwood offense and system for sure. Let's see where I want to go next on my list. Okay, I'll go one that I know you don't have. I think went a little bit under the radar. PJ Haggerty, the transfer from Tulsa, going to Memphis. Now, when I first saw this, I was like, oh, okay, like PJ Haggerty, like never really heard about him, but like put some really good stats up at Tulsa last season. I think that this kid's going to be a star in college basketball. And one of the main points of that is why I'm higher on him too, is because he has 3 years of college basketball left too. And I think that, you know, he is a player who can fill up the stat sheet. I mean, to end the season last year, he was putting up some crazy games, 30 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 24.7 rebounds, 2 assists, 17-7-7, 29-10, 21-5-3, 32-7-5, 29-6-9. Like, this kid, as in his first full season of college basketball, was putting up some really, really good numbers. I think he has positional size at 6'3". I think he fills the stat sheet up. I think he gets to the free throw line and makes free throws as well. I think he's one of the kind of an under-the-radar add for Memphis that I'm really high on. I think he's going to have a really good year for them.
I like that shout. Yeah, I can buy that shout. I really can. Yeah, a name I don't think anybody's really talking about. So
yeah. I will put this caveat in. I'd buy him a lot more if Tyrese Hunter wasn't there.
I can see that. Hunter, not a guy that makes everybody a lot better to me, but I can see that. Okay. Name we haven't talked about in a while. I mentioned him earlier on one of the videos today, though. I'm going to buy some Kanye Clary stock at Mississippi State. Yeah. Yeah. I really thought he was good at Penn State. And then I know, like, when he left the team, Penn State got better. That's a little ominous, but Josh Hubbard's really good. We saw what Chris Jans was able to do with like a little guard already. And you pair the two of them together. I think that's one of the most fun backcourts in the country. I don't know. I just, from what I saw from Clary, I saw like this guy is a dog and it's going to work out one way or another. And I like the landing spot of Mississippi State for him.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, you have some undersized guards that both have scoring chops and Kanye Clary and Josh Hubbard. So I like that. No one's really talking about that either. Was it a midseason transfer?
I don't think it was announced until after the season, but he was off Penn State midseason.
Oh, okay. Got you. Also, I think that he gets way too much flack for like, oh, Penn State got so much better. Like, what did they really get better?
Yeah, they were the same.
Yeah, let's relax. Fitting for this, I also have a Big Ten guard transfer that I'm higher on. I think you know who this is.
I don't know who. Who am I missing right now?
Your former point guard,
Doug. Damn it,
Doug is gonna go crazy at Kansas State. I truly believe it, and I think he's gonna be. I think he's gonna go crazy. I think he's gonna put up stats. I think he's gonna be eligible. I'm all in on Doug McDaniel. I think that, yes, last season was a disaster, and you pointed out, rightfully so, that a lot of the reasons why Michigan struggled was because of A, like Doug's inability to stay eligible and stay on the court, and two, like Doug's habits on the court and how he played the game as at the point guard spot. But I truly think that there is space for Jerome Tang to unlock Doug McDaniel to another level. And I think he's going to put up some special numbers at Kansas State.
Yeah. He's one of the more polarizing ones because I thought about him for the opposite of this. We're going to do our bus after this. And I thought about it. I ultimately left him off my bus list because I don't want to be biased. And I think my anti-Michigan last season bias may be hanging over this. But look, all the concerns with Doug are off the basketball court. So if those don't come to fruition at Kansas State, he'll be really good. But they are such loud non-basketball court concerns that it's hard to believe this could actually happen.
Yeah. Also, like, we got to put this in, like, one, I got to stop saying also, and two, the off the court issue, just do your homework or get someone to do it for you. Stay eligible. Like, we're not talking about you just like doing stuff you shouldn't do. Just like, I don't know, man, like hit the message board and do your five required posts and stay eligible.
I do want to say all eyes on Jerome Tang right now, because a year and a half ago, Tang was the hottest possible hire. This year, a bunch of good jobs opened up, and Tang was not really seriously considered for any of them other than Arkansas. And I think, like, now we're at a point where Tang is kind of risking his reputation on Doug McDaniel. Like, you can't afford a disaster season. And
I like that. Go hard or go home.
You decide Doug McDaniel's your guy when you can't afford a disaster season? Like, wow, somebody has really kind of dropped their stock recently. We'll see. I hope it works for Doug. I am rooting really, really hard for Doug. I know people probably won't believe that, but I really do want to see him be like Marquise Noel, the musical.
Yeah, yeah.
It's musical to it. There's a musical element. I'm going to give a shout to another Big Ten to Big Ten guy. I think Connor Assiagian is going to surprise some people in Nebraska. I do.
I like that shout.
I think people gave up on this guy because Greg Gard misused him. And I think people are forgetting the fact that it's Greg Gard. Like, because Greg Gard thinks Max Klesmet deserves your minutes does not mean that he's correct in that. I think Assiagian has shit to him. I think he can still be like a very watered down Kyle guy. And I think he's going to finally go to a system that is going to try and give him the opportunity to score like 15 a game. Won't be surprised if he does that.
I like that shot a lot. I think it's a Greg Gard mismanagement rather than a Assiagian is just not what we think he is.
Yep. All right. So we each got one left, and we haven't had a name on each other's list yet. Let's see what happens.
I had St. Thomas from USC. I am of the belief that I just think that the Loyola year didn't work out, whether it be for basketball or non-basketball reasons. I think he was able to go to a lower level, find his footing, be very productive at Northern Colorado. And I think that in the system with Muss, I think that he's going to put up some really good numbers.
Okay. I'm going to reserve being too mean, but yeah, I don't. It was such a bad year at Loyola. It was such a bad year at Loyola, man. I can't imagine he goes to the Big Ten and it works out in a great way.
I'll be the only one buying stock.
We'll see. I hope it happens. Okay, final one for me. Very surprised this guy was not on your list. I kept waiting to just hear it. Zvonimir Ivicic, the other Ivicic.
Damn it.
The original Ivicic. I think he's going to be breakout superstar good for Arkansas now that they don't have a bunch of centers that are going to take minutes from him.
Everyone believes that, though, don't they?
I don't think so.
I think they should.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people not talking about Big Z that should be.
Okay, I like that. That was the only other person that I had on my list that I crossed off was Elijah Martin, and I put St. Thomas on instead.
That's a good one. Yeah. I would have liked Elijah Martin more than St. Thomas.
I know you would have.
That's a good one. Okay. Fun exercise. Thanks, Cart. Appreciate your preparation. Let's flip it. Topic number three. Let's get negative. The five biggest busts that we think are going to underperform, underachieve to what people expect. Guys that transferred to a new school that either the consensus is high on or we are just super, super low on. We don't think it's going to work. We see disaster in its future. Okay, this should certainly be a non-controversial topic that doesn't get us any pushback at all, I'm sure. Why don't you go first, and then I'll alternate with you.
Okay, my first one is Tucker DeVries at West Virginia.
Kid playing for his dad.
That's why I was like, it's going to be funny once we get to this point. and it's not just the playing for the dad thing in my eyes, and I really like Tucker DeVries as a player, but I think that the step up in competition and playing in the Big 12 in a conference that's going to be really, really, really good this year. And, you know, they picked up Javon Small, which I like that pickup for them from Oklahoma State. But outside of that, this West Virginia roster just gives me a lot to be desired. And I don't know if the transition from Drake to West Virginia is going to be as smooth as it maybe should be, because I actually like that Drake team and like the daddy ball and how it worked there. I don't know if it's working at West Virginia in the Big 12 with the roster and everything going on with it.
I could see you being correct on this.
And lastly, we have unfortunately seen Tucker DeVries like have a, you know, go step up in competition and kind of shit the bed in big moments.
Yeah, I could see you being correct on this. I think the thing for me is that even if West Virginia has struggles, I don't think it's Tucker DeVries. Like, I think his individual numbers are going to be really good. That's the only reason I would keep him off this list. But yeah, I wouldn't want to build a team around Tucker DeVries with his dad coaching for 1 year. I'm out on that concept, so I don't hate that being where you start. I'll start with the one that's going to get the most pushback, or maybe the second most pushback. Kirk Risa, I think, is going to be a horrendous, horrendous, horrendous element for Kentucky this year. I don't see it working at all. To me, they better hope Lamont Butler's really good and ready and impacting things, because you straight up can't trust Kirk Risa. He's like Caleb Love if Caleb Love didn't have really high highs and great talent.
I'm with you on that. That's a good ad. I don't think you should get as much pushback on that as you think. My next one is Chucky Hepburn. I think the Chucky Hepburn Louisville experience is going to go terrible. And part of the reason why it's going to go terrible is because I think the price tag is pretty well known for what was paid for him. And unfortunately, in today's day and age of college basketball, return on investment should be discussed. And I think that this one is going to be one where you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, I can definitely see that being the case. This is like the consensus no-brainer bust worst value of the portal. So I'm with that. I think it deserves mention. Not on my list, though, but I think it deserves mention. I'll get the second one out of the way. I think Terrace Reed will be a disaster at UConn, and I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. I think the nice thing about if Terrace Reed doesn't work at UConn is that Samson Johnson will just be really good. And then you can play Terrace Reed as like a 10-minute a game bench center, and that's fine. But I think that's what you're getting. And if UConn fans expect something more than a 10-minute a game bench center, that's where this becomes a massive bust to me.
Does the fact that he plays for UConn prevent him from being a bust?
It would just be Samson Johnson being there. But to me, like, you're UConn, you needed a starting star center, and you got Terrace Reed. That is the bust to me. He will not be that.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. Somewhat. This next one I think is going to get pushed back from a lot of people, and maybe even you. I'm way lower on what Ryland Griffin's going to do for Kansas.
Whoa.
I think that Ryland Griffin gets a lot of credit for being some just amazing defender, which I really think is he's a good defender. I think he gets a lot more credit than he deserves because he was playing with a bunch of guys who don't play defense, and the fact that he did play defense elevated him. Part of the reason why they were so bad at defense was because he was part of it. Like, I know that he was a good defender, but like, he was also playing on a bad defensive team. Like, there's something to be said about that. And I just think with the other wings in the fold too, I think Ryland Griffin might go by the wayside a little bit. And like, on my ranking of wings that Kansas has got, like, I'm higher on the other guys than him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree with that. Except I don't know. I believe he's a better fit than the other Kansas guys. Like, to me, Griffin won't hurt Hunter Dickinson or DeJuan Harris at all. Whereas like AJ Storr could get in the way and hurt them. Riley Kugel could get in the way and hurt them. And for that reason, I think he's going to earn minutes, you know?
But doesn't that mean we should be lower on him then? Just because like his big sell is he won't hurt you.
No, because I think it's more he helps.
Okay. All right.
I strongly disagree. I love the Ryland Griffin ad. Okay, my next one, I'll go at my own team. I think Trey Donaldson's going to be a disaster for Michigan.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Well, when we talked about him like 2 weeks ago, we were under the impression that Michigan was going to go out and get a starting star guard still. Not getting the sense that's coming. Not getting the sense they're even trying for that. Getting the sense that they think this is done and we're good with Trey Donaldson. And I am pretty disappointed in that. I think he was a big part of why Auburn's guards were horrendous last season. You watched an Auburn team that was I mean, yes, top five in the country, but what held them back from being like number two in the country was that you couldn't trust any of their guards. They flame out in the tournament because all their guards were horrible. And now you're like, okay, let's go take their guards. Like, I just don't get that. I don't get it at all. I think he's a very limited player. I think you watched the tape. Joe Jackson did a really good breakdown of it. Like, he's an unselfish player. He can make set shot, open threes. He can make the smart pass. He's a good passer. But Michigan needs an alpha. And right now their best guard is Roddy Gale. And Roddy Gale has been the second best guard on teams for 2 years that have not even sniffed the NCAA tournament.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, but it does make sense why you went that way. Good transition also to my next person on my list. My next person is Michi Johnson. I think the Michi Johnson experience is going to go awful at Ohio State. I don't see him working with Bruce Thornton. I think that everyone in Ohio State circles has gone way too far on board with like, oh, we got better in the backcourt. We moved away from Roddy Gale. Now we have Michi Johnson back. Yay. LeBron's nephew. He's back. Come save us. I just don't think that it's going to work, the pairing with him and Bruce Thornton, and coming from the situation that he was at South Carolina, where I think it was perfect for him. I just don't like this fit as much. It just doesn't make sense why they really wanted Michi, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I do agree with you there. I had him on my list and I took him off my list, just for the record. So I like this one. This is the one that I agree the most with you on. Moving on, I am going to do a surprising one. I think you might push back on me on this one. I don't trust that Pop Isaacs is going to work at Creighton.
Ooh.
I don't. I don't.
On that one.
I just don't think he's as good as Trey Alexander. And I think they need Pop Isaacs to be Trey Alexander and Baylor Shireman combined. And I think he is an erratic player in a variety of ways that is not going to work. Like, I think Calk and Ashworth are going to look at each other and be like, this dude's not – like, we don't want him shooting 30 times a game. He's not as good. We're not going to win games if that's what we need from Pop. And I think that's what McDermott needs from Pop. They're going to need him in a bigger role than he deserves.
Yeah, I agree with that shot. I just think that, you know, you need to realize you can't do one-for-one swaps. In a lot of cases, and Trey, I'm still disgusted and just sick personally that Trey Alexander's not coming back to college. I just think he would have been incredible again at Creighton this year. Last name on my list, I think it's well known. You spoke about it when you talked. It's Aidan Mahaney for me. I know I'm in the majority on that one, but like I really struggle when I think about what he has done against like higher athlete level competition, in my opinion. And like you said, like I said it when we talked about it, if he's gonna do it, if he's gonna unlock himself, basically, or not even unlock himself, because he was good at St. Mary's. That's where I think you can say he's good at St. Mary's, and you can also say like you have doubts about what that's gonna look like in another role with another team. But if he's gonna do it, I think UConn's a perfect place to kind of just reach his highest potential. I just personally don't think he is going to do that. And I honestly don't think it affects UConn in any way. Like, I still think UConn's going to be really good. And Mahaney's going to be solid. I just don't think he's going to be, like, the star that people think he's going to be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know that's where you stand. I completely disagree with it. We'll argue about it all season long, I'm sure. My final one is a player I just don't think is that good that is going to a school that needs him to be a starter now. I don't think Felix Akparo works at Tennessee. I think this is going to bust pretty quickly. I think it's a massive step backward from Jonas Adu. And I know they have other options there as well, but I think Felix Akparo is going to end up on the bench for Tennessee on a team that really needs him to be more.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to be. We expected a jump out of Akparo last year and didn't get one. So, like, is he going to get one now? Is Rick Barnes, the coach who hasn't been able to hold on to post players the last couple of years, going to be the one that unlocks him? I think there's more of a chance that Felix Akparo ends up at a third school in a year or two.
Yeah, that's right where I am at as well. All right, fun segment today, Cart. Let's get to one big thing presented by Nobody. What do you got today?
My one big thing is a shout-out to, and I'm not going to, you know, I think the word is dox him, a Discord member, J-Rod, big Michigan State guy, big Discord contributing member, sent me a box full of Michigan State clothes that he didn't want anymore. And my brother in Izzo, he sent me some heat. I'm talking football jerseys, basketball jerseys, t-shirts, like all this gear in a box that's damn near bigger than me. So I just want to send a shout out to J Rod. I appreciate it. I'm actually still going through the box. There's that many items in there. But I just want to let him know I really appreciate it. And yeah, it's a box full of heat. I will say that.
Wow. Congratulations. I saw a couple of pics of a few of the items. They definitely looked fire. Also, like, any guilt from you? Like, you just came right in, like, yeah, I'll take it all for free. You don't feel bad about that at all?
No, because I did like the whole New Year's resolution thing this year for 2024, and part of that was not feeling bad.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, just you didn't strike me as like a give me all the free handouts guy.
Really?
You're a big like free sample guy? I mean, you didn't like the free sample cake pops in Lincoln. You always say like you're a...
I didn't like the symbolism behind it. But I like free anything. Free is me.
Okay.
Like one of my biggest downfalls is that, you know, on like trash day, like people put out things on the corner like free. If I don't need it, I'm taking it.
Interesting. So are you like a big garage sale guy? Like, are you gonna go to garage sales and like haggle for free stuff?
Brother, I was on my way home from the gym last Saturday and I saw an estate sale sign and I went immediately.
What did you get?
A picture frame and a lamp.
For how much?
$7.
What was it listed at originally?
He gave me the, what's it called, for free, the frame, once I bought the lamp. So really the lamp was $7.
Who was running the estate sale?
Some like just random family. I don't know.
It was a man.
It was a family. It was a family event.
Who was in the family? How many people?
I don't know.
Well, you said he. Who's he? Was he tall?
I mean, he's a middle-aged white guy.
What color hair do you have?
All right. Are you doing the thing I think you're trying to do here?
Did he have facial hair?
No.
You don't remember his name?
No, never got the name.
What items did you say you bought again?
A lamp and a picture frame.
For how much?
$7.
Where's the lamp?
Upstairs.
Where's the picture frame?
Also upstairs.
Could we see them?
I mean, I gotta go all the way upstairs. It's like upstairs, upstairs.
How big's the picture frame?
I mean, I think it's like standard. It's you remember those picture frames that were...
Oh, it's standard. It's a standard picture frame.
No. Do you remember the picture frames that were in my old backdrop, those white ones?
Like the art that you made?
Yeah. So it was like that, but it's a gold picture frame, but it's like that size.
So it's a square.
I think that's more of a rectangle.
Huh. All right. Stopped at an estate sale on the way home, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you did.
All right, what's your one big thing presented by nobody?
My one big thing presented by nobody is I love when you lie. It's so fun. This hit me last night.
I'm gonna send you a picture of the frame and the lamp after this, just so you know.
Oh yeah, like I'm sure, because you can just pick out any picture frame and any lamp from your house and sell it as something you got.
You've been in my house. You've seen stuff.
You think I know what every picture frame in your house looks like?
You should. I know what everyone in your house looks like.
That's not true at all. Again, with the
last time I was at your house, I pointed out every new item.
It's also not true. This hit me last night. The universe collectively, like, there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if you know this or not, but like we got our world of like our jobs and then like sleepers and our families. But like, there's also like all these things in the world that aren't in our world. There's a lot of other people's worlds that will never affect my world. Like an NFL player has a different world than the world that I have. A librarian down the street has a different world than I have. Different things happen everywhere. There's a lot of different places with a lot of different things happening. The universe collectively at all times needs to know when too much is too much. We can't have too many things going on at once. It's too hard to keep up with. It's inconsiderate to those of us in the world that want to keep up with everything and simply can't keep up with too many different things at once. Last night, we had the roast of Tom Brady happening concurrently with a new Drake drop in the middle of the Drake Kendrick beef. That was too much going on at once. It was physically impossible for any human to be watching the Tom Brady roast live and also listen to the Drake song. And then you're sitting there knowing there's a Drake song and you haven't listened to it yet. So it's hanging over you watching the Netflix thing. Or then you stop and listen to the Drake song and then you realize that clips are already coming out of parts you haven't seen of the roast of Tom Brady. All in all, I need the universe to acknowledge the fact that too much is too much. We can space things out a little bit, and I need the universe to be better for me going forward.
The universe spacing out would do great things for the world.
It's too much at once. And we were recording a full episode while both those things were happening. I hated every second of it.
I'm with you on that. That's a good shout.
Thank you. Okay, we'll be back on Wednesday. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Thanks for listening.